Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by Terry Alderton, friend of the show, comedian, yeah. Former South End keeper.
And it's
we
got
had
a lovely night.
A little bit of
him,
international league rivalry that kicked in. And Terry gave us some impressions. That was good. We also talked about football shirts. This afternoon.
Your classic shirts and the memories attached to them and which ones we wanted.
There's a new podcast which is out at the moment doing that. We had a bit of a chat about various things, didn't we, along the way? And also, you told us about a job that was going in the world.
AFC filed, I've got a job going, Paul. Yeah. We didn't know who it was suitable for, but maybe the listeners will want to apply.
So, that's pretty much it. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Afternoon, Paul. I went to Torquay United v Maidenhead.
I know.
On
we
Saturday.
Spoke to the manager yesterday.
Maidenhead v Torquay United, yes. Yeah. Very kind of you to get Gary Johnson, my absolute hero of all time, the man who I love and would leave my complete family for, on yesterday when I couldn't speak to him.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, just first off.
Well, we didn't want the whole chat to get too Torquay. He might have got very Torquay.
Very Torquay, yeah.
In the eighth minute, there was turned on the ball and he showed, but no, and
is there such a thing as too much talking? I don't think there is.
I think we're kind of reaching that point now.
The National Obsession podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, not a Torquay podcast.
Not a Torquay podcast. Anyway, I was at the game and I was having a wee half time. With a 4-0 up, you know.
So you treat yourself to a
cruising,
wee.
Treat myself to a wee.
You get that fourth guy, you know what, I'll treat myself to a wee.
Lovely.
I'll actually use the facilities. I won't just say to the bloke in front of me, you want to step forward,
just
mate.
Just open your pocket.
Like people used to do in the 70s.
Dreadful, So I went for a wee.
It's true, kids, they did. It was disgusting.
Horrible, isn't it? Horrible.
Yeah.
Went for a wee. Bloke came in next to me, in the cubicle next to me. Charlie Baker. I went, oh, yeah.
Oh, you're not literally the cubicle, you mean the trough.
The
you
trough,
mean he's
yeah,
stood
the,
you know, next
trough,
to you. He's
yes.
not,
it's Maidenhead, Paul.
He's not banging on the wall.
It's not like one of these Japanese toilets that cleans your bottom.
Okay.
It's Maidenhead away, Paul.
That would be a talking point, though, wouldn't it?
If it's Maidenhead, posh toilet.
We can't afford a striker this season because we bought some Japanese toilets.
But, you know, it'd be lovely at half time.
Yeah.
You're only allowed to use them if you're 4-0 up.
Yeah, that's of course.
You Charlie Baker? I went, yeah. I thought I recognised you. And I went, I hope from my face.
You've been waiting to do that one for years, haven't you?
And all I thought was...
Did he get a laugh? It's a good line.
It's a good line, isn't it? Yeah. No, he laughed. He did laugh.
Okay.
He did laugh. But, but I did think, what a funny thing to say. People must get it all the time. I mean, I'm not in any way famous, but you must have had it, people coming up to you in the
flanks at the latrines.
In the toilets. It's like, you sort of want to go, just leave people. I had a wee with Bernard Breslau once. But,
did you really?
But I didn't say, I was only a young man, so I didn't say, are you Bernard Breslau?
You didn't have a chat. Well, you knew it was Bernard. I mean, what's the point of opening with that anyway? I mean, look, we can always revisit
you, Bernard Breslau.
It is a rich scene, flanks at the latrines, because you know, they're kind of a captive audience, aren't
exactly.
they? Whoever whichever celebrity you're standing next to,
yeah,
is kind of a captive audience. So, that you know, and unless they've got incredible control, they'll have to get through the process while you're asking
exactly.
them name questions or saying, "I loved you in," and what was so and so like.
You sort of just think, leave it until at least till I'm washing my hands.
Yeah,
you know, and then Saturday night I did a gig.
Obviously, the other thing is, you see someone famous, is immediately thrust the hand out, but neither of you in a position to do that.
Not in a pandemic.
Until you've obviously you've washed your hands. But anyway, we can flanked at the latrines if you want to return to that.
Okay.
Charlie's kicked it off. If you have found yourself in that situation with a celebrity and had a bit of a chat.
And then I did a gig Saturday night.
No, maybe the celebrity chatted to you, because there is that thing.
Yeah.
If you've got two men in a loo, I asked Gareth Bale's dad at the Football Writers whether he was leaving.
Oh, did
his
you?
His dad sort of was a bit non-committal. Mm. I said, I'm a Spurs fan. Is Gareth going? And he said, well, I don't know. You mean he just didn't give much away?
I think you said too much. I don't think men should speak here in the toilets. I think it's private time, Paul.
Yeah, but this wasn't being a journalist.
Time.
Far from it.
All right.
This was just me. Just I was interested as a Tottenham fan. But,
okay.
Anyway, look,
yeah,
if you have
sure.
been, let us know. The other thing I want to hear from you on, something we didn't get round to yesterday, was there was all sorts of comparisons to the size of Andorra. And it continues the conversation. We'll pick up on it later. Should the minnows be playing the big boys? Is it all a waste of time?
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why they're looking at this World Cup every 2 years, which is an absolute disastrous idea that, as you'll discover later, is almost certainly going to happen. So get used to it. They were comparing the size of Andorra. Charlie White in The Sun said it's about the same size as Burton on Trent.
Oh, right.
So that's one way of comparing
it.
His colleague Dave Kidd said it's a nation little bigger than Camberwick Green. So it did get me thinking about some of the great derbies. Yeah. You might be able to have.
Trumpton. You've got Pew Pew, Barlow McGrew, Cuthbert Dibble Grubb. We've got all those guys. We know that they're there.
Do you mean that's the five-a-side team?
First names on the team sheet, Paul.
Yeah, I think they'd have to be, wouldn't they? But I bet it goes off when Trumpton play Camberwick Green.
You can't believe it, can you? The ultras there.
Yeah.
In the windmill. Windy Miller.
Yeah.
There, you know. He'll have played for him in the past.
He always gets a wide berth on the terraces, old Windy, doesn't he? So if you want to just bring to life some fictional derbies.
We were discussing Postman Pat v. Fireman Sam, Paul, how that, you know.
It's Where does Postman Pat do his thing?
Pat? Oh, we never.
It's Greendale, isn't
Greendale.
It? Greendale.
The Greendale Ponty Pandy Derby.
Yeah.
Notoriously goes off.
Ponty bring a lot with them, didn't they? And they get ailed up.
They do. Norman Price and the lads.
Yeah, Ponty. They just, it's Ponty next week. They go, not. All the pubs are boarded up. It's one of them, isn't it? So anyway, if you want to imagine what goes on in these fictional derbies, as well as being flanked at the latrines, talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. We'll throw a third one in, shall we?
Why not?
Let's keep them busy.
Let's do too many so we don't get any answers.
We've seen the two Spurs boys, and quite possibly Davis and Sanchez, who also went off to play for Colombia, they're going to probably get fined when they get back from Argentina.
They were told not to go, weren't they, Paul?
Well, they were. They were asked politely not to go, but they wanted to turn out for the nation. And look, that's their prerogative. But most players didn't go, and look at the chaos that ensued the other day. But you were looking, Charlie, for stories that kind of went all that. But I went anyway.
Yeah, we'd love the answer to be, but I went. I was told not to go, but I went anyway.
But I went anyway.
Yeah.
And what were the repercussions? Maybe the Celso, etc. They'll be sitting there today thinking, well, maybe there's a good outcome to this. I don't know. But what was the outcome when you went anyway?
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
With the Spurs trio of Giallo Celso, Christian Romero and Davinson Sanchez possibly being fined when they return from Croatia. They've gone to Croatia to do a 10-day training camp. The Spurs, hopefully like a Spurs boot camp.
Yeah.
They sent Ant Middleton over. that's how to make them pay. Don't fine them. That's just money, isn't it? That's easy.
Yeah, easy.
Send over a real proper sergeant
SAS
major.
Guy.
Yeah. A real old school, just gets them running
right,
up
you're
down
in.
Hills. That's
in,
it.
In your Spurs kit. And a hood on over your head.
That'd be great. An old trainer from the 70s. That would be marvellous. Right, running. All you're doing is running for 10 days in the Croatian sun. But anyway, it did lead Charlie on to the story that goes along the lines of, but I went anyway. Yes. Because they were told not to go, but they went anyway.
Yes, Dean, in Basingstoke's been on 6 years ago when Chelsea won the league. I was told by my wife not to go to the celebration parade as she gave birth a couple of weeks before to our first child and didn't want me to get too drunk. Fast forward 12 hours, I've fallen off a table, impaled my leg on a metal fence and spent the week in a London hospital.
Then he adds
I went anyway.
He then adds rather superfluously, she was not impressed.
Oh, really, yes.
Really, Dean. We've had quite a few of those over the years say, we're not together anymore. I hope you patched it up.
She left me 3 years
later. Your
leg
and your relationship. Also, we asked you about being flanked at the latrines. Because Charlie was there the other day and came out with a rather good line. Why don't you reprise it, Charlie? Because Terry's waiting here from us. So flanked at the latrines by a fella, wasn't you?
He went, are you Charlie Baker? I said, yeah. And he went, oh, I thought I recognised you. I said, I hope from your face.
That's good. Come on. This is what they want.
We'll take that.
He'll be using it at his next gig. joining us now. In fact, to tell us about his next gig is our old mate, former South End keeper, comedian, friend of the show, Terry Alderson. Good afternoon, Terry.
Good afternoon, young men. How are we?
That's a good line. Did you hear Charlie's line there? It was a good line.
This is a very good line. I've used it many, many times.
He always says that.
That's a good line. It's very good, Charlie.
Yeah. Thank you.
Charlie's one of the best, remember? Charlie's very much one of the best.
Well, he certainly is. It's nice of him, isn't it?
Have you been flanked at the latrines? Has anybody indulged you in a bit of conversation? Or maybe you've started the conversation with somebody more famous than you you've stood next to?
I'll tell you what I did do, actually, funny enough. I went and did a voiceover that I do quite regularly, and my producer reminds me of this person, and we chatted about it, and I said, you sure he's not your dad? Anyway, I went down to Carnaby Street in London, and then only went and bumped into the said man, which was Michael Palin.
Oh,
and
wow.
I saw him, and I thought, oh, man, I can't go up to him. And I went to my wife, I went, I've got to go up to him. And I had a blooming South End shirt on. Believe it or not, right?
Bad luck.
It was more of a hoodie, sort of wet top kind of thing. And I said, look, I'm really sorry. And he was with a guy, and I've had people do that to me. And I'm really, really sorry, fella. Me being the one that they don't recognise, having to have Tim Vine go, can you take this photograph? and I went up to him and I went, I hate to say this, but I had to say hello. And you know when you're desperate for them to be nice as well, you're thinking, please be the Michael Palin I wish you're going to be. And he was absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, lovely.
That's
lovely.
Great, isn't it?
Little word on Southend, Terry. You told me you were going to walk the league. Big club, too big for the division. Going to just walk. There's going to turn.
National League.
All they
days,
have to do is turn up in the National League and they'll absolutely walk it. Currently 13th, five points. Not going great.
It's a tough period of adjustment. Not
struggling.
In Kansas anymore, Toto, isn't it? We've seen it with teams like Stoke in the Championship. It's not easy.
No, you're gonna knock me down, both of you, or you're gonna let me get worse. Right, let me just tell you this, right, first off the bat. We're three places higher than you, Baker. Yeah. Right? I think you're 17. You're not.
You can't hurt me.
I know, you're used to it. You've been further down. But I'll tell you this, I don't think I ever said we were gonna walk it, did I?
Yeah, champions elect, you said. Said
you've got easy
peasy, you said.
Did he really say these things, Charlie? You
he genuinely said all this. Said he's going to walk it.
Crazy. But you have got texts. You've got texts to prove it. I know you have. So,
but it's early days. Early days, Terry. You know, it's
early days. Oh, it's early days.
It is, yeah. Now, you are doing a gig for a fine cause in the company of some excellent comedians.
Can I tell you this, right? Straight off the bat, this is, I mean, Charlie will back me up on this. So it's for, it's in aid of the UCLH Children's A&E Department. Basically, what they're doing is they're going to put in some nice soft plays and, you know, little art stations and stuff for the kids to play. Obviously, if you're not feeling great, you're having to go to hospital, you know, A&E and all that. So it's a lovely cause. It's on the 21st of September, 7:30. And this is the bill, right? This is the bill. Believe this. This is unbelievable, right? This is all for £17.50, people, right? Okay. Shatton Paul Sandy, Sean Walsh, Adam Buxton, Bob Mills, Felicity Ward, Tony Law, and some bloke called Terry Alderton.
Oh, that's a good lineup. Yeah. It's a very, very good lineup indeed. Really, really is. All headliners in their own right, Terry, I would say.
They are. Yeah. It's a really energetic, nutty night, that is. I mean, you know, me and Tony Law are probably going to put people into care.
I mean,
it's going to be... They're going to be leaving the place going...
Terry used to be an absolutely brilliant comedian.
Oh, he's got it in for you till now, hasn't he, Cole? That National League bite to it that you never had before.
Felicity Ward is one of the best out there in the whole world. She's absolutely hilarious.
Without, I mean, Millsy, I mean, come on, Adam Buxton, Walshy. I mean, it's just brilliant, Shappy.
Fantastic.
Look, and the fact is, you're going to give money to the charity and you're going to go and get a brilliant comedy night. So, you know, and bless him, old Jezza, who puts these nights on. He works his bum up for these. If I could say bottom on here,
no.
It's laughter. It hurts. He's just the best. And you've done stuff for him, Charlie.
Yeah, you know, it's a great venue as well, the Bloomsbury Theatre.
Yes, the Bloomsbury.
Just nice to be back out there, isn't it, Terry? Just nice to be back out there doing some gigs, seeing people's faces.
Yeah.
As I said last time, when I was talking to Paul and Andy, I said, you know, I've been walking around crying in my pants, and to get out and not be in my pants anymore is lovely. Mm.
Wearing your pants and crying as opposed to crying into your pants, which is a bit of
a strange. I've been doing both.
Is it carrying a
crying into my pants.
Do you wear your pants?
So it's the Bloomsbury Theatre, 15 Gordon Street, London. It's not far from Euston, up that way, isn't it? Sort of over that
correct
way.
Yes. Correct.
So WC1, if you're in London on the 21st of September, that excellent lineup, sensibly priced at £17.50 for University College Hospital.
Halifax away Saturday, Terry. They won't like that, will they? Southend team. Do they even know where Halifax is? They'll be struggling at Halifax away Saturday.
They think it's next to Santander. That's where they think it is.
Yeah, that period. Now, I just wondered, you're the voice of them all, Terry. And Conor Benn, of course, a fighter these days, son of Nigel. Chris Eubank Jr., son of Chris. I mean, have you been trying to perfect the net, sort of the impressions, the next generation? Is there anything you can hook it onto?
Well, I think Connor's not like his dad, is he? Mm. Connor's different to his dad. But Christopher and Chris, you are the same. So, you know, when you hear him speak, me every time, by the way, don't you?
I do, I get you. I love it. I love it. It's uncanny. So,
I would say, this is the old Chris Eubank before he had his teeth done. This is him now with his teeth done. Mm. And he sounds like Nelson Mandela. And then his younger son speaks exactly the same, but slightly slower than his father.
Oh.
So the difference between the two. And then, of course, Nigel Betty, the great, always gets to the point where he can't breathe and runs out of breath. But his son doesn't talk like that.
He doesn't sound like his dad.
Pretty brilliant at it.
Terry's
brilliant at those, isn't he? Really specific. Some impressionists, it's really general, isn't it? But Terry really gets
the impressions. Charlie, did you ever go down that route?
We've discussed this. I've only got like a couple in my locker, and I can't really do them.
Once you did at school.
No, like I can do them once, and then it just disappears out of my grasp. You know, I can't really.
Okay, who are they?
I'll tell you. His best one. I know his best one.
Yeah.
He does a very, very good impression. A very good impression of the bloke who does the voiceover for the Suzuki ads.
No, I don't know who that is.
I know he's.
I don't know who that is.
If he ever steps down,
Aaron Neville.
Get that,
Aaron Neville's the only one I can do properly.
Could you go out and do Charlie?
Look at these arms. There's no way of knowing.
Well, that's good.
Look at these dreams. There's no way of showing.
Oh, wow.
I don't know much, but know I love you.
Oh, it's very good there. Can't show up now.
There's to know.
That's good, isn't it? We've got Tim Vike going out.
Aaron Neville. Aaron Neville.
We've got there's Gary, there's Phil, and there's Aaron.
Yeah.
It'd be great if Gary Neville couldn't make it. They booked his brother Aaron, and he did all the stuff with Cara in that style. That would be fantastic.
You do your Sean Dyche, Paul. You got your.
Well, I can only say it's your job, by the way. That's all I can do.
It's very
That's
good,
it.
Though, isn't
That's
it?
That's all I've
very
done.
Very good.
Oh, I've got another one.
Yes,
I've got another one. John Fury.
Oh, you can who? Sorry?
Oh, John. I tell you what, Tyson is tough, isn't it? Tyson's a tough impression.
Mike Tyson's all day. I'm a fight. You sound like a hunting I walk wild.
That's Mike Tyson. He's doing it. Mike Tyson now. He's anyway, gone mad, as usually it does.
It's got very loose, as it often does when Terry's on.
It's got very loose.
As I can only see him now walking around Roots Hall with naked, with a, weeping into a pair of underpants, which is an odd image. Well, we hope, Terry, lovely to talk to you. We hope it goes well, the gig on the 21st, £17.50. I was getting confused with the price and the date. 21st of September, 7:30. And good luck at Halifax at the weekend.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, good luck. Good luck with going there as well.
See you, Terry.
Cheers, Dale.
I love you, boys. Thank you very much.
There we are, comedian Terry Alderton. There.
That'll be a great night out, Paul.
John, good John Fury, wasn't it?
Very good John Fury.
The line was breaking up slightly, but he's Nigel Benn. As he often tells us, he did it for Nigel. He was at Do once, and he did it for Nigel, and everybody was laughing. Nigel was laughing in the room, but afterwards, when he went up to Terry afterwards, didn't find it quite
hoped.
If you ever do that again, I think. Yeah, he got. Yeah,
I wouldn't want to hear that from Nigel.
Aaron Neville's on line three. Is that at all possible?
Yes,
I don't want to do two different stories.
He's still alive.
It's great. Well, that's, as I said, Tim Vine's going out as Plastic Elvis. Yes. Can we do your tribute to Aaron Neville?
I mean, it could be a very long popular.
Night. Could be a long night.
We came
only
up
if
with
he was
one,
doing punditry on Monday Night Football. That might be quite...
If they get him in, you know,
For... David Jones, who we've got on tomorrow, David could say, well, Gary could make it tonight. Phil's not available because he's in Miami. So we bring in Aaron, the third of the Neville brothers. Tracy couldn't make it.
New host of Game Day, Saturdays, is Aaron Neville. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
That would be good, yeah.
Sitting next to...
If he did, all the punditry...
Sam Matterface and Aaron Neville.
Yeah. Well, listen, look, it's quite niche what you did there, but thank you for
there
it.
There we are, we went for it, didn't we?
It. There are people out there who love
we
that
doubled
kind
down
of,
on it.
People who love that kind of music were sitting there thinking, is it him? Is he in? Yes, we're also looking for unlikely derbies. Because we mentioned earlier on, Dave Kidney in The Sun yesterday said that Andorra was about the size of Camberwick Green. I mean, when it goes off between Trumpton and Camberwick Green, I suppose we could end a reoccurrence of the Trumpton riots, that half man, half biscuit.
Of course, yeah.
About all those years ago. But you're suggesting some other games.
A lot of
basically
those.
You're coming up with characters. It's not MMA, it's football. Mary Mungo and Midge against Bagpuss. And his mob could be naughty, says Adam. In Bagpuss's mob.
Think about the Bagpuss team. They've got those mice, haven't they? Very busy, sort of on the wings and in midfield, haven't they? Got a lot of pace. Then they've got that old woodpecker at the back in goal. He's very wise, good player.
So good, that's overseeing it all.
Bagpuss in the middle, sort of, just holding himself.
Well, he's let himself go a bit and he's put a bit of weight on. The Moomins versus the Magic Roundabout. You are listening to TalkSport, by the way. Moomins versus the Magic Roundabout, says Lee on the M74. Keep them coming then. We are looking for maybe a few kids' programmes and what would happen when the teams matched up off the back of that Camberwick Green reference. Our thanks to Terry.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're off to Geneva to find out why... almost certainly we're going to be facing World Cups every 2 years. It's a bleak prospect, isn't it?
I said to you earlier, Paul, it's like ice cream for every dinner or something, isn't it? Yeah. It's just too much of a good thing. It would make it a lot less special. It would take away the achievement of winning. You'd win for a shorter amount of time.
Yeah.
By the time you've won it, you'll be re-qualifying for the next one. What happens to the Euros? What happens to the African Cup of Nations? All those things.
The Women's World Cup.
Women's World Cup. All those things. It diminishes it. It doesn't make it any better.
Yeah, I know. It's a crazy...
That's my opinion.
Among some of the stuff that FIFA are coming up with, there are good ideas. Mm. That's just a very bad one. So why not pick out the good stuff? But
maybe it's one of those ones that's the headline one. Well, so everyone talks about that one, and there's another one they're sort of sneaking in under the wire.
Anything worse than a World Cup every 2 years, that takes some doing. But the feeling is, as Martin Lipton, who's been over there listening to all this, will tell us, the feeling is that, there is a push towards it. And the way the voting system works at FIFA these days, after everything that went on before, means that a lot of smaller nations that would be very much for this will vote for it. And it's a good chance
it'll
get passed.
It's always money, Paul, isn't it? It's always if them make more money, I think.
Anyway, currently it's every 4 years, so get it while you can. And Jordan Pickford, the England keeper, will be back in goal tomorrow night for the game against Poland. Our own Faye Carruthers has been chatting to Jordan and began by asking him how he's gone about improving his game.
I just felt I could improve off the pitch with the mentality side, the psychology side, and I always thought that was something I never needed in the game for myself. But I think that then you realise when you start getting a bit older, there's opportunities to become better. And I felt like that was always good. When I started using Jamie, it was a great time to use him, and it just gave me that structure and that straight, narrow-minded, really, to become better and be myself. It's all about being yourself. When you're away from home, being yourself, and when you're off football, being yourself, being the best Jordan Pickford on the pitch and the best Jordan Pickford at home.
Well, the sports psychologist who he's worked with, it's worked, isn't it? Because he looks a much calmer presence, which helps the back four and helps him. I still maintain that Van Dijk tackle was a real kind of epiphany to him, a real turning point, because I think he must have realised, that could have been me. Mm-hmm. I could have been out for 6-8 months. I could have done that to myself. That recklessness in that moment wasn't helping him as a keeper.
There seemed to be a sort of excess energy about him, didn't they? So he didn't have that calm that you needed. He's also grown his hair, Paul, which I think, makes him look more grown up.
You think that's helped?
I think that's helped him.
Okay.
Not only from an outside point of view, you know.
But he's. I think you're seeing a different keeper. He's developed as a keeper. He's getting older. Well, anyway.
What was always thrown at him was that he was too short, wasn't it? That was always the...
What, the hair?
No, that he was too short.
Oh, okay.
To be a top-level goalkeeper.
You do seem to be fixating on his
hair. I'm not on the hair.
Are you his barber?
No, that he was... Was he 6'1", 6'2"? Hmm. That was always seen as slightly too short to be top-level goalkeeper, but he makes up for that now in positioning and all sorts, doesn't he?
Playing very well. Anyway, you can hear the full interview with Jordan Pickford, Fake Brothers asking the questions, on Drive with Andy Goldstein and Darren Goff from 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Lovely stuff. The Fraggle Rock v Sesame Street Derby was called off when they discovered a Crouchy in the Big Bird costume. That's what's being told.
This has been suggested by who?
Yeah. And this is Dan.
Okay.
You know,
this is because the size of Andorra was likened in The Sun by Dave Kidd to Camberwick Green. He said, a nation about the size of Camberwick Green, so we shouldn't get too carried away.
A lot of people more interested in who's going to fight each other in these games.
It's the fans.
Yeah, the Sooty and Sweep away at Button Moon always has a bit of needle.
Kev imagines it on Soccer Saturday. So the Wombles playing away at Ballymore. What's the story so far, Jeff? Yeah, thank you, Kev, for that.
Very nice.
And this is nice. What about the Clangers versus the Wombles? The New Culture Club versus the Crazy Gang, says Thomas Fuller. Thank you, Thomas.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to think of Sweeney versus Minder.
Although, that's a whole... That's great.
Matt this in is Glasgow. The stuff. Still bad blood between the sides following the acrimonious transfer of Waterman and allegations of match fixing by player-manager Dave.
Not many people play for both clubs, do they? Minder and Sweeney.
Great fictional football matches. So do give us more of those.
Yeah.
Thanks to Charlie Baker for signing my Talk Sport book on Saturday. Not while you were flanked at the latrines.
No, I was going to tell you about this. So I did a gig Saturday night in Walton-on-Thames. Lovely gig there. And at the end of the gig, someone came up to me and said, "Will you sign my book, Charlie?"
Yeah.
I was like, "Yeah, of course I will. What book is it? Because I've never written a book." Paul.
They just asked to sign a random book.
The Alan Prost autobiography. No. No, it was the Talk Sport book.
Which one?
The most recent, not the lists one. The other one, the fifth, whatever it is, of 20 years of Talk Sport.
Yeah.
Probably still available in the Talk Sport shop.
Yeah.
Asked me to sign it. I said, "You do know I'm not in it." I'm not in it. And he went, "Oh, sign it anyway."
So he clearly taken it
to
the gig.
Yeah, he was a lovely, lovely man. It was very nice to meet him. Thank you very much for coming to say hello. And he loves you, Paul.
Does he?
Thinks you're... Everyone loves you, Paul. Everyone who comes up to you and talks about this radio station, we love Paul.
Just because you did 20 minutes Aaron Neville, you don't have to start sucking up to me, in case you missed it in the first hour. He did the whole set. He did Judy Garland at the Carnegie Hall, but as Aaron Neville, did the whole thing. So do keep those coming. Have you flanked at the latrines? Charlie was telling us he was the other day, which led us back down this rather unsavoury route. I was once at a boxing show at the old Starlight Rooms in Enfield Town. I remember it well, Matt, the Spurs fan. Saw Tommy Cooper there.
Did you? Talk me through the Starlight Rooms.
Sensation. Well, it was under the stand at Enfield's old ground. It was basically a nightclub venue.
Yeah, lovely.
And, all the stars went there over the years of a certain era. And, it's no longer there.
You saw Tommy Cooper there?
Yes, I did.
Did he do the thing? He used to send his son out. If he was late for a gig, he used to send his son to go behind the curtain and just poke the curtain.
Oh, no. What he did...
And then he'd just go... While he was setting up, he'd go... poke the curtain. And of course, the audience are crying with laughter.
He did, but he did the first 5 minutes just to basically in the dark. He couldn't see the stage, just voiceover, where he claimed that he was still in the dressing room. I can't find the door. There's the door. I'm in the wardrobe. Exactly. Did all that.
So by the time he's on, you're in love.
Ridiculous. Anyway, I was answering from Exeter. Boxer Dennis Andrews was handing out the trophies. Me and my mate went to get an autograph of Dennis's as he went into the toilet. We then saw him disappear into a cubicle and lock the door. And my mate said, "Can we have your autograph, please?" And he said, "Slide the pen and paper under the door." He was a man who couldn't hang around for long. So, Julie, we did that, and we got the autograph. Wow. That's a bit of a weird way of getting one. There's a nice one here from Stuart in Canterbury. I met Barry McGuigan in a gym changing room when he was training Freddie Flintoff for his boxing bout.
All right.
I asked him how it was going, expecting him just to say, "Yeah, okay, thanks." Mm. But he then proceeded to tell me in great detail about the full training program.
Not the brush off, the rundown. No. Oh, wow.
Barry gave him the lot. The problem was he'd thrown his towel over his shoulder and was standing there naked with his 50-year-old body in prime condition compared to my 20-year-old poorly conditioned body. So there we are. Thank you very much for
that, Stuart.
I once
had to get changed with Peter Andre, Paul.
Did you?
And it came to the time, you know, Peter's known for his sort of six-pack and chiseled look.
Yeah.
And it came to the moment we had to both take our shirts off. I was like, oh, I don't want to do this.
Really?
not next to Peter Andre.
I take it, are they still in, he hadn't let himself
He's
go at that?
He's still got it, Paul. Still got it. What a nice man as well.
Yeah. Why were you taking your shirt off in the company of Peter Andre?
I'd won it in a raffle.
That's fantastic. So a box of milk tray will take your shirt off in the company of Peter Andre.
I was going to put it back in, but you know, I thought, no, it's fine, I'll take it.
So, seriously, what were you doing?
Oh, I was doing a quiz show, and he was on it as well, and we were sharing a dressing room.
Okay.
So, that was it. And that's the end of the story.
I just wondered, in the world of showbiz, do you often share dressing rooms?
Paul, I was on it, so it wasn't like a very high-level quiz show. If I'm on it, it's not going to be the best one you can get in.
See, I think on most quiz shows, you'd have your own dressing room. Possibly with your name on the front. They have like a communal one.
You'd think Peter Andre would have had his own dressing room.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Maybe he did, but they said, look, it's either Charlie gets changed or he changes in the toilet. So Peter, being the man he is, said, no, bring him in here. We'll say we're sharing it. Don't make him feel bad about himself. Well, anyway, flanks at the latrines, the fictional football matchups after the Camberwick Green and Dora comparison.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, apart from talking about a World Cup every 2 years, the England coach Gareth Southgate has been chatting about Robert Lewandowski, the Poland striker. He scored in every game he's played in this season for club and country, but the England boss is adamant that Poland aren't a one-man team.
Any team is going to miss a player of that calibre, and he is one of the best finishers in European football. So we've got to prepare for what he brings to the team, but also we know that they have other strong players, and they gave us a really good game at Wembley that night, pushed us right to the end. So, yes, we prepare some specifics around Lewandowski, but the whole team we've got to be ready for.
There we are, game live on TalkSport tomorrow night, of course, and you'll hear more of that interview, if more from Gareth Southgate and from Jordan Pickford in Drive with Andy Goldstein and Darren Goff at 4 o'clock.
Assuming there'll be 11 changes again, Paul, from the...
Yes, I would imagine. You'll see pretty much the team that played.
Although Jude Bellingham looked absolutely fantastic,
didn't he? Played well, didn't he? Yeah.
Future Ballon d'Or in my mind, Paul. I've never picked one before.
Have you flattered?
I thought Tommy Tynan might have won it one year. He was fantastic for Torquay. He was even better for Plymouth Argyle. But
they so often get overlooked in the
just
Ballon
overlooked
d'Or
for the Ballon d'Or that year.
They rarely get down there. The Ballon d'Or judging
real
committee.
Shame, you know. Shame. Rodney Jack was so good one year that I thought he'd be up for it, but absolutely not.
You're telling us about some of the big derbies after Andorra was compared in size to Camberwick Green by Dave Kidd in The Sun.
Hi, Paul and Charlie. Sorry, the biggest TV matchup has to be the derby between Blue Peter and Magpie.
Yeah, lovely. There's some incorrect information in this one.
Okay.
And it certainly is one for the teenagers, isn't it? Do you remember
they'll
Magpie,
love this,
Charlie?
I remember Blue Peter's still on, isn't it? But Magpie was ITV, wasn't it? The tussle between those defensive maestros of Biddy Baxter... She was the producer, wasn't she? And Fred Dynage, was he Magpie?
Dynage, never in Magpie, I'm afraid. In How. And that came from Paul, the painter in Letchworth. Fumes have gone to his head.
There we are. Paul, let me finish it.
The matchup of Val Singleton and Jenny Hanley is going with. But you're obviously of a certain age, Paul. I think you've lost Charlie there.
No, I remember. Names ring a bell, you know.
Yeah, he could have had Bastable, he could have had Robinson, he could have had Boyd. He had options and he went down the Dynage route.
Shep was the dog, wasn't it?
Yeah,
for Blue Peter.
Well, he certainly was.
Could have run on the pitch. I'm used to that sort of thing.
Yeah, and Shep. What else? Sooty and Sweep away at Button Moon, says Liam. Always has a bit of need. All stems from the fact that neither team will talk to each other.
Yeah.
You can imagine Sooty at the toss, you know, saying, have a good game, Sooty, nothing back. Talk to me. Stop whispering in his ear and talk to me like a man.
Sue there giving him a little pep talk
ear. Yeah. Who'd be the kind of dog of war in midfield would be Butch, wouldn't he?
He'd be digging right in, wouldn't he?
Sooty
done for disrepute with his watering pistol.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, just some of the things that never going to happen.
Hey, Paul, AFC Fylde are on the lookout for a new general manager.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't pull their punches, places like AFC Fylde, the Coasters. This is the advert.
Coasters?
That's what they are, yeah, the Coasters.
Oh, wow.
Part of their advert, this is a hands-on role and requires hands-on leadership from the front. So delegators and office dwellers, please don't apply. If not already apparent, we are not a premiership club. Therefore, every penny and every fan has to be fought for and respected. Very good. You'll need to be proactive in your approach to everything. We work hard at Fylde. So again, don't apply if you are looking for a work-life balance or have to pick the kids up from school twice a week at 3:30.
Is that what they've said?
Said in the ad, Paul.
They've had that.
So they know who they want.
Right.
They know what type of person they want, don't they?
Right.
You know, that's to be the new general manager of AFC Fylde. You're going to apply?
Can you see yourself in that role, Charlie?
No, I don't think it's for me. I don't think I could do the commute. And I do have to pick the kids up now and again.
Yeah, you certainly
do. So I'm already out.
Oh, well. So if you do fancy that job, if you have no work-life balance and don't have any kids to pick up from school.
Who do they want to do it? I don't want any work-life balance.
You see yourself sitting in a porter cabin at Fylde at 10:45 at night? Then that's the job for you. Yeah. I take it the money's good.
I don't know. And if you want to know about money, don't ask.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're coming here for the money, if you want the job, we don't want you. We're actively looking for someone who doesn't want the job. Is it going to make anyway, we'll move on.
Good luck.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, normally, if you get fans of a team together, they'll get chatting about the great kits of the past, won't they? The ones we loved, the ones we hated, the ones we couldn't believe the club ever brought out. And tapping into that with various famous faces and more is our next guest, who has launched the Football Kit Memories podcast.
Oh, lovely. Great idea.
Craig McFarlane is the man behind it. Hi, Craig.
How you doing, boys? You all right?
Yeah, We're good. Yeah. So just explain, for those who haven't heard, explain the format.
Sure thing, yeah. So Football Kit Memories, it's the football podcast that gets under the shirt. So what I do is I speak to somebody that's well-known, got a bit of profile in football, speak to them a bit about their career up front, and then what we do is ask them to pick their three favourite shirts or three shirts that mean something to them. We kind of explore their relationship with football through the prism of those shirts.
Wow, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Desert Island Kits, I was calling it earlier.
It's very good.
It's certainly of that school. Who's your team, Craig?
So I'm a Celtic and a Scotland fan.
Okay.
You've got the green and white hoops or the green and white hoops.
Well, I mean,
or the green and white hoops.
They stray now and again, Celtic. The width of the stripes may differ now and again, but essentially it gets tied in with eras, doesn't it?
Who am I seeing? I'm seeing C.R. Smith in my head on the front of Celtic. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that ages you, doesn't it? It depends when you're watching football. But very much so. It's very tied to the history, isn't it? So with Celtic, it's a good example where you can't really stray too much from the design, otherwise fans get a bit upset.
Yeah. I mean, do people, as you said, you can have a lovely kit, but when the team stunk, you know, you could lose a cup final, but have the kit you love the most. So you can be conflicted, can't you, with success on the pitch and the kit they were wearing at the time?
Yeah, you're totally right. And also, like, you can have a really bad kit and also win something in that kit, and it then becomes special and quite valuable to people as well. So it's kind of really dependent on a lot of factors, really.
Yeah. And that whole market, that whole kind of replica shirt market, it's huge, so much. Yeah. If you want, really, there's very few of the old vintage kits, the ones that you remember fondly, that you can't pick up. Normally, it's a couple of companies, of course, let's name them.
They were particularly popular in the summer, weren't they? Of course, because everybody felt the England kit was too expensive.
But it's great that they're readily available, because you know there was a time when they weren't, and you'd have to actually have the original kit and find it, and there was no eBay to find it on, so it was a bit of a holy grail.
Exactly right, yeah. And also you've got companies as well that sell the actual kind of originals from the era as well. So you actually have your kind of like your Adidas, your Umbro shirts that you can still get from the 80s and 90s as well. You just got to spend a little bit of money, unfortunately.
It's a big collectibles, the classic football shirts, as we know. It's a big collectibles market, isn't it? These they're quite expensive. You're after very rare stuff.
Most definitely. And there's a huge community out there as well on kind of Instagram and Twitter as well. It's something I've been, you know, really lucky to kind of be a part of too.
I suppose the advent of names being on shirts means you can have the actual shirt that, you know, that the players played in that you remember. Is that
the match worn shirt? The match worn, the
you know, you see
back.
All that on eBay, don't you? And especially I support lower league football, and you can actually find for pretty cheap the actual shirt that a random player or a lesser known player played in.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's that thing where one man's junk is another man's treasure, isn't it? So, you know, what means something to you, you're prepared to spend a lot of money on, whereas, you know, I wouldn't be looking on eBay for a low league team because that's not my team. You know, it's kind of, I think that's what's special about the podcast. It's people's own individual memories that make it interesting.
So what are some of the guests you've had and the kits that have been special to them? Give us an example.
Oh, sure. So look, I've spoken to all sorts of people, you know, broadcasters, journalists, like ex-players. I've spoken to Pat Nevin, Sam Delaney. I've spoken to quite a few different people now. And I think some of the shirts, as I say, they're very kind of personal to people. I think some of the more interesting stuff, like Pat Nevin, for instance, he bought out a box from his attic and started picking out these shirts that he said he hadn't seen in 20 years and stuff that he just kept up there and wasn't bothered about. And for the first time, he was kind of thinking, well, actually, I've got this amazing collection. And being Pat Nevin, he picked what he called a very hipster choice, which was a DDR away shirt, I think, that he swapped with somebody for Scotland under 21's game in the 80s, which is quite interesting. Very Pat Nevin, that one.
Oh, I'm coming back at myself.
There he is.
The other game is I've fallen off a cliff. Where you see, you think of a player, don't you? Or you see a shirt and you immediately think of the player in
very
it.
Very much.
So you'll see a certain era of football shirt, and it's almost like
Tino Asprilla.
That's right. It comes straight away. You think of, you can only ever see one player in it.
Totally right. I think that the Tino Asprilla one, the Newcastle home shirt, the kind of rugby one with the Grando collar, I think that's been chosen 3 or 4 times.
Really?
People seem to love that one, and it's a real kind of like epoch of the Premiership, isn't it? That 95-96 season, Keegan's nearly men kind of stuff. People love all that stuff, don't they?
What would be, okay, we can just give you one. What would be your one then, Craig? If you could just, I know you give them three and the story behind it, but is there one for you?
Do you know what? It's not a hugely valuable one, but it's one that's quite difficult to get hold of. I'm a massive Scotland fan, and I was there the night that James McFadden scored that goal against France, where we beat France in Paris.
Yeah.
And that shirt is kind of white with like this blue saltire on it. It's not a great shirt, you know, not particularly nice design or whatever, but like I was saying earlier, that just means so much. I really do wish I had that in my collection. So if you know anybody out there that has it, please do send it around.
Is it a difficult one? Is it a very difficult one to track down, is it?
Seemingly, it's just a bit rare. I've never seen it for sale anywhere. And if it is for sale, it doesn't seem to keep very well. It didn't seem to wash very well. So a lot of the stuff will be peeling off and things. I don't really want to.
Yeah, it's interesting because a white shirt, I'm looking at it now, with a light blue sort of saltire on the front, with a light blue sort of collar and sleeve, and the Scotland badge sort of in the middle. It's a bit of a mishmash shirt, isn't it, with a number under the saltire. So it's a strange shirt.
Exactly. It's a bit of a mess, I think, design-wise, but just, you know, something that special, it just means so much to so many Scotland supporters, including myself. So, yeah, I'd love to have that one.
I had the replica Crown Paints Liverpool kit as a very, very small boy before I discovered Torquay United were up the road.
When you were glory hunting?
Well, no, when I was eight. And that kit for me, I mean, the Craig Johnston, Jan Mulby, Jim Beglin. That era for me is that a classic Liverpool red.
What's your favourite Torquay shirt, Charlie? What era? Is there one you'd cover?
There's a purple one that's on. It's for sale on eBay at the moment. Actually, that is.
You're waiting for it to come down.
It's pretty well. It's very low at the moment, but I know it'll go up pretty high. But the best one is yellow and it's the day the dog ran on the pitch. That Rotolot kit is just pure perfect Torquay kit. So yeah, that would be the one, but none of them exist because no one kept them anymore, you know. No one used to keep them in the old
days, and they'd
get cut up and used as training shirts the following year,
and one does a replica of it.
I'm sure they do somewhere. Yeah, you can get a Toffs version from the 60s, but not the same. No,
mine would be just, I mean, it was very much like the home shirt now. It was when I first started going as a kid, and they wore it, you know, predominantly for about another 12 years, which was just a white long sleeve cotton top with a small cockerel on it.
Well, I think it's that, isn't it?
That was it.
It's when you get turned on, when you sort of switched on to football, it's that, isn't it? You come online,
But then you get something like Tottenham's new away kit. I mean, when you first saw it, you thought, my goodness, what a monstrosity. It looked like Osibisa were back on tour. It's just an incredible. Have you seen this thing? It's like it's Neil deGrasse Tyson's come up with it. It's like looking into another cosmos. But it's gone mad, Craig. It's sold out 3 or 4 times, and I've seen people wearing it at games, and it looks good. It's a bit cosmic, literally, but it's worked fantastically well. So sometimes a first look at something, you'll feel different about it later.
Mm. And like I say, you know, it depends on how this season goes, etc. It might become more special. They have this concept as well of, they call them future grails, like future holy grails, where a shirt will come out and it might grow on you, but then it might become exceedingly rare in the next few years as well, and obviously become really expensive to get. So if you've got a feeling that you like it, I'd recommend you picking it up.
Yeah, well, you do well now. I wish I'd bought
shirt salesman.
I wish I'd bought that brown one when it came out. Although they had a brown one for Europe
and the Coventry City kit,
but
as well,
it was just brown and
brown,
gold.
Yeah.
It was a nice shirt, but I should have moved. Anyway, that'll teach me. Look, Craig, all the best with the podcast. Who you got coming up next? Craig.
This Friday, I've got a fashion designer called Ian Tricky. He's based in Accrington. He does some really cool stuff. There's new episodes every Friday. Just make sure you give me a follow on Instagram and on Twitter. Give it a search. We're available on Apple, Spotify and Acast.
Nice one. Football Kit Memories, it's called. Thanks very much, Craig.
Nice one, guys. Thanks a lot.
There we are, Craig McFarlane there.
It does, doesn't it? It just takes you there. You can see it, you can be back at the game. You know,
just think when I see that shirt, I see Mullers. I see my old mate Alan Mullery. He's the first man I see. He wasn't the first player I saw wearing it, but I just see him in that white shirt. Or Stevie Perriman, of course. That would be that sort of era.
Fantastic. Yeah, great era as well. Yeah. But stylish as well then, you see, isn't it? Just before the nylon really kicked in.
Yeah.
He discovered we can print anything on nylon.
Footballers were playing very thick cotton shirts.
You've got that 70s sort of rough polyester angle as well.
Indeed.
You?
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon show. We'll do it all again tomorrow.
Yeah, let's
tell
do it.
You, already in the bag is Max Whitlock.
Oh, fantastic.
Fresh from Soccer Aid, gold medal winning gymnast. He'll be joining us. What else we got? Andy Hamilton, very funny man, writer,
he's
comedian.
Funny, yeah, great stuff.
David Jones from Sky, the man has to keep Roy Keane in check every Sunday. Can't be easy. Tim Vickery, after all the madness in Brazil
Fantastic.
And Argentina last week. That'll be an interesting chat. So, if you can join us, we'll be building up to the England game. We're here from 1. If you can't, podcast available at around 4:30.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.